Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, and welcome to Dragonfly Tales, a story podcast with me, Emily. And each episode, I'll tell you a story from around the world and share some fun and silly things with you. We have missed you so much. Have you missed us? We're so sorry about the delay, but I wasn't very well. The good news is I'm feeling much better after a good rest. And when you're sick, that's kind of all you can do, is just give it time until you feel better. So thank you all so much for your lovely messages and well wishes, and for being so patient. We have got loads of shout-outs to catch up on, so make sure you stick around after the story for all of those. And remember that over on Patreon, there are two new videos to watch. We also have a three-minute myth coming up and the concluding part of Beowulf and the Dragon. So hop on over to Patreon and become a little sprite or a power pixie so you can have lots more story fun. So, listeners, our story today is based on a brilliant tale written by Tessa Paul. I heard the story when I was a little girl and I just loved it. So I've had a go at doing my own version, but you should definitely check out Tessa Paul's Warrior Girl if you get the chance. It's a South African tale of warrior tribes, so I think we should start. The sun beat down on the African grasslands. The sun beat down on the African grasslands. The birds had stopped singing. The rain had stopped falling. All around the land was dry. Dust clouds wheeled over the savannas and down into the empty river beds. And Gorgu, the great mother of the tribe, could not sleep. When the moon came up, she left her hut and went outside into the night. Even though the sun was down, the air was so hot. She could hear the call of the lions far off on the plain. Huh. So, you cannot sleep either, she thought. Queen Gorgu sat down under a tree and laced her fingers together. What was she going to do? The great warrior king, her husband, was dead. And now her three sons were fighting, squabbling over who should take the throne. And Gorgu knew she must name one of them. But none of them seemed worthy to her. They had been spoiled by their father, strutting around like peacocks, more interested in starting wars with neighbouring tribes. Did they not realise that to rule, you need to be wise? You need to make peace with other tribes so that all can dance on the earth together. She had consulted with the elders, but none of them could agree which son should rule. They said she had to choose. And now this drought, the dryness, she knew the birds would not sing to the clouds for rain. Until a new leader was found. But who should it be? Gorgu sat and looked at the moon. She asked the ancestors to send her a sign. Which of her children should rule? Just then, she heard a noise behind her. Who's there? Mother? It's me, Tombi. Why do you not sleep? Tombi was the only daughter of the king and queen. Gorgu loved all her children, but she was most proud of Tombi. Kind, clever, oh, she would make such a great leader. But until now, only sons had been allowed to rule. Girls had to follow, as Gorgu herself had followed, until she was given in marriage to her husband, the old king. It had been a good marriage, and her husband had been a very brave warrior and a good king to his people. But now, as Tombi sat down next to her, Gorgu felt frightened. I cannot sleep because I cannot choose, my girl. Your brothers are not leaders like your father. They think only of fighting and taking, never diplomacy. Never of the people. Tombi put her arm around her mother. Perhaps they need a test, mother, a challenge. And the one who is the bravest and the most clever, they will be the one to become our leader. Gorgu looked at Tombi in the moonlight. She was strong and beautiful, so wise for her age. The stars were swimming in the deep indigo sky. Far off, the lion roared again. A test. I think you are right, my girl. The next day, Gorgu summoned the whole tribe together. The sons pushed their ways to the front.
Mother, who is to be king? What do the signs say?
Everybody knows it should be me.
But I am the eldest. I should lead.
You couldn't lead anything. You can't even find your way out of the forest.
Well, what about you? You're the worst hunter I've ever seen. And you are a coward. You run away from a fight, not towards it. You're no warrior.
Oh, shut up. You know nothing.
You shut up. No, you!
Gorgu and the elders banged the ceremonial drums. Peace, my sons. This will not do. We have consulted together. We have asked the ancestors. We have searched for signs and omens. And we have decided... Here she looked at Tombi, standing quietly in the crowd. We have decided there is to be a contest. The one who wins will be our leader. The three sons stood open-mouthed.
What is this test? I'll fight any of my brothers to the death, for I am the strongest.
Strongest? You're the weakest.
Let it be a hunting test to bring back the king of the lions. I can kill him with my little toe.
Gorgu looked worried. She did not know what the test would be. The brothers' squabbling got louder and louder until...
Queen Gorgu! Queen Gorgu! Look! One of our scouts is coming! It's Tunlani!
A man was running into the encampment. He was bruised and bleeding.
The queen! I must see the queen!
Tunlani the scout was brought before Gorgu and fell panting on the dusty ground. He is wounded. Fetch water and bandages, quick! The tribe gathered round as the poor man tried to speak.
Great queen, I was attacked by the San tribe.
But we are at peace with the San tribe, said Gorgu.
The brothers began to shift nervously. Tunlani spoke on.
No, Queen Gorgu, your sons have threatened them and attacked one of their tribe and now they have retaliated.
Gorgu was furious. She turned on her boys. You see what you have done?
The man raised his hand.
Oh, Queen, There is more. They have taken my son, Jabula. He is only a boy. They keep him in a cave near the mountains. I fear for his life. The tribe gasped in horror. Tombi let out a cry of terror. She loved little Jabula, a gentle and sweet boy. And so, thought Gorgu, the test presents itself. People, Jabula must be rescued, and peace must be restored with the Sand Tribe. That night, Gorgu did not sleep again. What terrible trouble surrounded the tribe. She had heard her sons plotting how to rescue the boy, but they talked only of weapons, of fighting, destroying their enemies. Their words dripped with bloodshed and hate. How foolish her sons were! But this was their test. Rescue the boy, yes, but restore peace. The boys had forgotten that bit already. The eldest son went first the next day. He took a troop of warriors and headed straight for the cave in broad daylight, whooping and screaming, brandishing weapons. They didn't even get near it. The San tribe released their war dogs, and those dogs chased the eldest brother and his warriors all the way back across the plain until they arrived, red-faced and ashamed. The eldest brother had failed. The next day, it was the turn of the middle brother. There was a terrible fight with the San warriors, and the middle brother nearly lost his arm. He returned home defeated. Finally, the youngest of the brothers tried a stealth attack, but the San tribe were ready, and he barely escaped with his life. Gorgu sat in her hut and wept. Her three sons had failed the test, and the young boy Jabula was lost to his tribe. As the moon rose, Gorgu begged the ancestors for a sign of what to do, and the moon brought her daughter to her. Tombi, my child. They did not pass the test. What am I to do? And what of poor Jabula? Who will save him now? Tombi took a deep breath. Mother, I have a plan. But it is a secret plan, and I need your blessing. Gorgu looked into the deep brown eyes of her daughter and smiled. You have my blessing, Tombi. Be careful and use your cunning, girl. Tombi was the daughter of a warrior king. She was fiercely brave already, but she was also wise like her mother. She'd grown up watching and listening. She'd seen how people who react with quick temper often hurt themselves. So she decided to do things differently. Tombi went from hut to hut and woke the other girls in the tribe. They loved their princess dearly and were willing and excited to help her. "Shh," said Tombi, "come with me, but be quiet." The girls crept quietly through the camp and hid behind the cattle pens. The moon was as bright as day, so they could see easily. "Listen to me. Tonight we will rescue Jabula. Then we will make peace with the tribe."
"But how, Tombi? I'm good with a spear, but there are so many of the San tribe."
"We will not need weapons," said Tombi. "Only our wits and our courage. Here, we must look the part." Tombi showed them terrifying masks that she had made.
They look like demon masks.
Exactly. Quick, we must paint our bodies to look like bones. And so the girls began to paint their bodies. White streaks down their arms and legs, the paint shone so brightly in the moonlight. Then they put on skirts made of black crow's feathers and finally placed the terrifying masks on their faces.
Oh, we look really scary.
Yes, and we must sound as terrifying as we look, said Tombi. Follow my lead and remember to shriek and scream like the devils we pretend to be. Let's go. The girls moved like shadows away from the camp, through the long grass and towards the mountains. Their hearts were pounding in their chests like war drums as they approached the cave. They crouched down and watched. Tombi could see firelight coming from inside the mouth of the cave. She signaled, and the girls began to spread out in formation, arcing toward the cave mouth. When they were in position, Tombi, who was in the middle, signaled for them to stop. They waited. A grey mist rose up, curling its fingers around them. Dawn would break soon. The lion roared. And then a blood-curdling shriek filled the air. Inside the cave, the warriors grabbed their spears, terrified, and moved stealthily toward the entrance of the cave. They peered out as a spine-chilling voice came out of the mist. Come out! Come out, you cowards! All you men, to guard one little boy, come, come and see if you can fight us. The warriors edged towards the entrance. Who's there? Spoke the San leader. Who are you? Tombi and the girls shrieked and whooped their war cries in answer. Angrily, the warrior gripped his spear and moved out of the cave, but his blood froze. All he could see through the mist were hideous devil faces dancing on top of gleaming white bones and feathers. They had completely surrounded the entrance of the cave. Demons! Demons! The other warriors got up and ran to him, and they too were filled with horror and fear.
No, no! They will curse us! They will eat us! We must get back to the tribe! Go! Go!
And hiding behind each other, they squeezed out of the mouth of the cave. Tombi and the girls began to whine and moan, stamping their white-painted legs, shaking their feathered skirts and howling and shrieking into the mist. We are coming for you. Come and fight us. Come and fight us. Come and fight us.
But the warriors did not dare to look at the devils, so fearful and horrifying, they ran past the shrieking specters through the long grass and kept on running and running all the way back to their own tribe.
Tombi and the girls took off their masks. They had done it. Tombi ran into the cave, and there was little Jabula, weak and frightened, but alive.
Tombi, is it you?
Yes, little one, it's me. Let's go home.
The first fingers of the dawn stretched up, turning the sky a rosy pink as Tombi and the warrior girls headed back to the tribe with Jabula. The three brothers could not believe their eyes as the warrior girls walked towards Gorgu's hut in triumph. Little Jabula sat on the shoulders of Tombi, smiling and waving. There was cheering and rejoicing as Jabula's father hugged and kissed his precious child.
Thank you, Tombi. Thank you, girls.
Tombi bowed to her mother, and Gorgu smiled at her daughter.
We have returned, mother. We have only to restore peace now. I will go to the Sand Tribe. Show them that we are not demons, that it was a trick to bring our boy home without violence. I will then offer them peace with our tribe.
Gorgu said, It will not be easy, daughter.
I know, mother, but it's all right. I have a plan. Do I have your blessing?
There was a sound they had not heard in a long time. Bird song. And then, at last, it rained. The end. So, listeners, did you like that story? What was your favourite bit? My favourite bit from this story is definitely Tombi's clever plan. She manages to scare away the Sand Tribe by using her courage and her wits, pretending to be skeletal demons. And you know that when Tombi goes to speak to the tribe, she'll definitely be able to lead the peace talks and bring happiness and peace to both tribes. So now we have loads of shout-outs to catch up on. But don't worry if you don't hear your name this episode. We will get to you, I promise. So firstly, here's a shout-out to Lara, who is 9, and she's from Boulder, Colorado. Now, we missed Lara's birthday in February, so we'd like to wish you a happy, happy birthday, Lara, and thanks for listening. Next, here's a shout-out to Ariel, who is 5, and Vince, who is 7. They're originally from Belgium, but they live in Dubai. They both love the episode Frosty and Friends. Vince's birthday is in June, and Ariel's birthday is in August. Hi, Vince. Hi, Ariel. Thanks for listening. Next, we have a shout-out to Margot, who is 6, and Aggie, who is 2, and they're in Stroud in Gloucestershire. Margot's favourite episode is Puss in Boots, and Theseus, and Robin Hood. And they've been waiting so patiently for a shout-out. So, hi, Margot. Hi, Aggie. Thanks for listening. Now we have some birthday shout-outs for our March babies. Here we go. Firstly, happy birthday to Ava, who is 9, from Mission Viejo in California. Happy birthday, Ava! Next, we have a shout-out to Abigail in Chelsea, and she is 6. Happy birthday, Abigail! Here's a shout out to Yumna in Portland in Maine, and they are 5. Happy birthday, Yumna! Here's a shout out to Edelina in Colorado, and she is 6. Happy birthday, Edelina! And finally, here's a shout out to Rowan in Te Awamutu, New Zealand, who is 6. Happy, happy birthday, Rowan! Oh, brilliant. And remember, if you would like a shout-out on the podcast, come over to Patreon and join our club. You get shout-outs on your birthday, ad-free content, and lots of extra stories. So that's it for this episode. You have been listening to Dragonfly Tales with Emily. I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and I'll have another story coming soon. But until then, a true leader knows we're all on the same side. Be clever, have courage to unite, not divide. Bye.
Our podcast is brought to you by Emily, Andy, and Leo at Dragonfly Tales UK. Come and join our Patreon club for shout-outs, extra stories, and ad-free content. Search Dragonfly Tales to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.